Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. You're joining us for episode 622 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. This week we're bringing you our 141st Weekender, so you'll hear about what we've been doing in our lives, along with our discussion centered around a random topic from our topic wheel and a quick trip through some hedonistic exploits. But before we get into that, we should let you know who we are. Our silent key, Russ, K52X. I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD. And yeah, welcome back. And we are recording here on another Sunday evening and on a holiday weekend, of all things. Ooh. July 4th just occurred. And of course, this is our sesquicentennial.
Yeah.
Sesquicentennial. So this is a big celebration, I'm sure. Everyone has taken a moment out of their day to reflect on that 250 years. And while you do that, we're going to go ahead and find out what Cheryl has done this week.
I have done very little of anything. It's been way too hot. So I haven't done any cooking, so nothing major in that department. Computer-wise, paying bills, probate stuff, podcast stuff, that's it. The radios are off until Bill gets here next time. And otherwise, I had a friend contact me on Friday that I hadn't spoken to in several years. Had no idea why, but Russ was extremely upset by that whole situation. And she asked if she could stop by yesterday, and she did. She apologized for disappearing, explained what happened. We chatted for a few hours, and she has promised she won't push me away again. So I'm sure that Russ would be thrilled to there were our answers and that we made up, I guess. So...
cool.
And that's it. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, geez, I've just been watching a lot of this FIFA World Cup soccer. So, and I've been trying to revolve my day around trying to make it to watch the game either at the local establishment, the local watering hole, or at home. I'm just glancing out of the corner of my eye and seeing Mexico play England right now. But it's been pretty fun with that. I spent a lot of time at the theater again. I think I mentioned last time that we had some paint peeling issues. So I have spent the last couple of mornings finishing that project. I put the final coat of primer on yesterday, and then this morning I blacked it all out. So I actually painted the top layer paint, which is Tomcat Black, for those of you that are interested in colors of theater. Black walls. It's Tomcat is our color of choice, and it is very flat, and it pretty much swallows the light, and it's perfect for us. I'm not sure what other theaters use, but that is the color that we chose, and we use it on every single surface to ensure that, the light just sort of goes away. Food and computer. I mean, we did have a little cookout here for July 4th. Just small, just the family and grandkids and stuff like that. Nothing big. I got some pre-made burgers from the local grocery store. One of the co-op ones. So at least it seems more rustic that way. I got some brats, and yeah, we just basically had a cookout, so it was pretty easy, pretty chill. Ate the rest up before we went out and watched fireworks, which I normally do not do. So like that was my step into the the sesquicentennial celebration, was to actually go out and see fireworks. I normally just watch them in my own yard or house, or once in a while we'll go to a friend's house and they'll blow crap up, but I'm not really interested in it that much. But I was convinced to go out this last time, and it was pretty fun. I mean, the one we went to, there's like two big ones that are here in town, and they ran for like, I don't know, 25-30 minutes. It was pretty cool. My grandkids were there, so it was fun seeing them enjoy it and stuff like that. So that's that. Computers and radio stuff. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm behind on getting my stuff ready for National Jamboree. This is like a repeating theme. I have plenty of time to go paint the theater wall and watch some soccer, but I don't have time to fix my truck, and I don't have time to fix computers that I need in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now on the ground. Yeah. So, I will be working on that this week. And next episode, you will find out if I'm still working on that project. Actually, I should be all packed by the next episode. So I'm ready to hit the door besides, you know, clothes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm getting ready to make the trek over to West Virginia. That'll happen after our next recording. And you'll already see on our event list inside of Discord and on Facebook that a few episodes will be recording sessions will be missed because I'll be out of town. We may pick up an impromptu one. Who knows? It depends on how bored I get sweating to death in West Virginia. So we'll see. Well,
hopefully the weather's not too bad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's been a big ramble. I didn't think I would go that long on that. But anyway, let's get to our topic wheel. And I think if I tested this before and it did work, so I'm going to slide the slider up and this will hopefully sound okay to you. And yes, I have shuffled everything a few times and ran a test run, but we're going to pull the topic from... Okay, yeah, this is definitely one of the ones that you put in the list that you sent me, because normal human would send this.
Gotcha, thanks.
And I'm kind of interested in the answer to this question. So this is a life question, so sort of hedonistic, but definitely not a hedonistic question. So, do you play a musical instrument? And if you don't play a musical instrument, I'll add it to the end. If you could, which one would you play? Or if you could and you do play a musical instrument, which one would you like to play that you don't play?
So do you want to start this or do you want me?
Why don't you start, since these are kind of all your topics?
Okay,
And you must have been inspired from something. So I'm kind of interested to see where this goes.
I actually play multiple musical instruments. I've basically been a lifelong piano player. I have some issues now. I've had some, you know, after my car wreck, I had some hand surgeries and I've had a couple since. So it makes playing the piano a little more difficult for me, but I can still play the piano. I was in band in high school and I played the flute and the clarinet. So I can play a couple of different instruments. So, but yeah, so those were mine. And Russ was actually learning to play the bass guitar. That was, for some reason, he was drawn to that. So he's, I think there's six total bass guitars in the house. And he had taken professional lessons for a while, and several times when we'd have shows here, you know, different bands would invite him up on the stage to play a little bit of a song or whatever, or maybe just kind of like, you know, play just a tiny little bit of something between sets or whatever, which just thrilled him to death. So
I thought I saw him on one of the live shows that you were streaming. I think he played like one song or something.
Yeah,
like that
there were a couple of times that he actually knew the song well enough, with a little bit of, you know, help from somebody standing near him, that he could actually play. So, and he and I were working on, he did okay with reading music, but he needed some help. So I guess in a way I was kind of tutoring him on reading music, and he was getting a lot better with it. So, but then, you know, he took lessons up until, 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was about 3 years ago. It was after COVID was happening. And then, of course, life and work and everything kind of got in the way. So that just kind of went out the window a little bit. So he wanted to get back into it. We were discussing shuffling some stuff around, making room somewhere in the house or whatever for you know, music room, basically. Because right now, my keyboard is actually out in the Blue Cow venue under a keyboard cover, which I would like to bring it in the house so I can use it. Because where he actually put it was in his sound booth. And he didn't make the sound booth big enough for me to get back there. He didn't leave the doorway open, so, you know, big enough. So, like, all right, fine. So,
how did I not know you played piano?
I don't know.
That's like something I don't think you've ever shared. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, probably not. So, and I never, you know, Russ wanted to buy me several years ago. He wanted to buy me a flute or something for Christmas, and I was like, no. No. I got so sick of the flute and clarinet and band. I don't ever want to even think about that again. And I could probably, you know, it's one of those things of you don't ever forget how to play. You just get a little rusty. So I could probably within a few days get back into the swing of it. But I was just like, no, I'm good. Piano, I do kind of miss because that was how I got my stress and my anger out. I would literally go in and start, you know, beating it out on the piano. And, you know, of course, Dad was trying to watch TV or something around my piano. And he would be like, can you just, like, not do that right now? Because I want to watch, for instance, a soccer game. I would be like, no, I need to play. So, but... And Russ
it is a percussion instrument, right? Because you do use hammers. So
yes, that is true.
Beating your stress out is actually intentional by design, I think.
Exactly. So, but Russ was really kind of digging the keyboard when he bought it for me, because he was like, "Oh, I want to learn to play this." So we had a couple of very quick and impromptu, you know, training lessons, and then I just kind of went, you know, you're good. You can teach yourself, you know? And he was like, okay. You know, so, and I would be cooking dinner, listening to him horribly butcher songs. But sometimes he would hit the wrong key. I'd be like, G, that's a G.
Yeah.
He was like, I know. So and
know what key you're in, what key you're in.
Yeah. So,
wow. Well, that's you're way more ahead than I am. I also played the clarinet.
Cool.
And band. I basically played the regular clarinet during marching season, because we had a marching band in high school. Right. And in symphonic season, I'd switch over to the contrabass clarinet. So because I was too sucky of a regular clarinet player to get into symphonic band. So I had to pick a really unique instrument that nobody else wanted to play. And then I was in like Flynn. So yeah, that's the way to cheat the system. I don't know if this still works to this day, kids, but
probably
if you are just a marginal player, but you want to get into the fancy band that plays all the fancy songs and stuff like that. Pick an instrument that nobody else wants to play. Or maybe two. Have two in your. You play a bass clarinet and a contrabass clarinet. That'll work. Yeah. Or like a long flute, whatever they call those. This is probably a bass clarinet, a bass flute, and piccolo. Just play the two opposite edges of of flautists. And I wish I could play piano. I dabble in it. I have a hard time having played clarinet. And even contrabass clarinet, I have a hard time reading F clef music. So this happens as well with the musical stuff that we do at the theater, because obviously we do operas, and I'm most likely a baritone when I sing, which means I'm reading F clef music, which means I need cheater notes so I can know what the note is. Because I'm not a trained singer, and I sure in hell cannot program my brain to read F clef music. It's like, okay, I know it's just shifted down a bit. It's it's the E A C E. No, it's the other one. It's the F A C E. Oh Christ, I get them all messed up. if you know, you know. It's one of those things. I unfortunately did not learn my that'd be my left hand on the piano at all. So I struggle even to this day when I look at piano music, trying to figure out how to play the the left hand. The right hand stuff I can play pretty easy. And then I always shift to just doing chords. So I need the cheater chords to know, like, oh, it's G, it's G flat, it's D sharp or whatever, whatever.
Right.
It's like I can kind of fake the chords through the bass line, but I can never. I've still to this day have a hard time, reading it. I normally have to write the notes next to it, and I still won't memorize it. I still look at a sheet of music. I'm looking at HMS Pinafore right now, and yeah, I can't read any of the music. It's horrible. can read all the G stuff. The right hand stuff is pure as day to me. The tenor section and the sopranos and the altos and all that other stuff. I'm lost when it gets down to the bottom staff.
Right. The bottom staff is harder to deal with in any piano vocal. It doesn't matter because I think for some reason your brain is searching for what to do. I don't, that's not a good way to define it, but yeah, because I would struggle playing piano. There would be times that I would get caught up in something in the lower staff.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, bah, why am I doing this? Yeah. So, but it just, I guess it's because the staffs are laid out a little differently. With note placement. So that's probably why just my mind would wander just enough that I would kind of lose my placement, and then I'd be like, bah. So, but yeah, well, it's, and even I was in vocal music as well in high school, and our finals every year or every quarter or semester, the teacher would hand us a piece of music we had likely never seen before in our life, and we would have to sight read it. And no starting key, no nothing. And it's just like, bah, don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. And she's like, no, you got it. And every single person, for some reason, I managed to pull it off every time. I don't know how. Because there would be times I would like trying to hit the note in my head. I'm like, no, I think I'm off. I really think I'm off, But there was one kid that he was so convinced that he had aced it, and she gave him an F. And I thought he was, because she just passed out our grades, like the next day in class.
Yeah.
And he hit the floor just bawling, and we're all like, what? And she's like, he failed. We're like, why? And she then went on to explain why she failed him. And a lot of it was because he went in with such a braggart type attitude. She's like, no, nobody's perfect. And he thought he had it and he didn't have it. And he went on about it. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of kicked him to the curb on it. And it's like, oh, ouch, that's harsh. So, but she's like, yeah, no. And she told him, she's like, try again next time. Try and you'll get a passing grade. She's like, I'm not out to fail everybody. I just want everybody to pay attention. Like, okay. So, but
yeah. Yeah, I can, that's the thing is, like, if you're reading a brand new piece of music, it is very hard, just to sight read. If you're not that competent about your instrument, and I know that my voice is not a good competent instrument for me, so <All right. laughs> especially when I'm in the F clef and I'm like, oh, there's just no way that, that I can cleanly sight read anything. Yeah, I'm even just looking through Pagliacci here that we did. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I could even do the baritone part here. Luckily, I was just the extras in the crowd. So, but like when I would play my clarinet or even the contrabass clarinet, I had no issue reading it and putting it right into the instrument. Like I knew the instrument like pretty confidently. I could read music, could count it in time, no problems. But I find, doing it with the voice is way harder because, like, you're not pressing keys and stuff. You're manipulating airflow.
Right. You have to manipulate your voice and, yeah. So. And
everything else. And, yeah, it's hard. It's very hard. So, yeah. So I think, like, if I were to say that the instruments I would like to play is probably my voice better and the piano, which would hopefully help me with the F clef. So that's where I'm sitting at with that.
That's like where I'm going to stick at it. So. Yeah. I don't know if there's any musical instrument I would like to learn to play. I think the flute and the clarinet and the piano, I don't, maybe some guitar. Well, no, actually I take that back. I'd like to learn to play the harp.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Our friends, the Haygoods, that have the show in Branson, Missouri, she plays the harp. She actually can play everything that they play on stage. You know, violin, guitars, saxophones, whatever. She can play it all.
One of those
people. She also plays the harp. And she does an amazing job with the harp. And I she just texted me a few minutes ago, but I had asked her once upon a time, I was like, if somebody wants to learn to play the harp, is there somebody in the area that teaches? And she's like, actually, no, it's just kind of a case of teaching yourself. She's like, this is not something you find in Southwest Missouri.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, great. And she's like, but if you want to learn to play the harp, I can teach you. I was like, yeah, like you, yeah. I told her, I was like, you've got the time to do it. You're doing a show in Branson every night. She's like, well, there is that.
plus you need like the instrument.
And that's what she said. She's like, finding a harp that's not outrageously expensive is not a good thing. She's like, it just doesn't happen. Her parents bought her a harp when she was like 7 or something.
Right.
But it ended up being a case of a church had it. They didn't need it anymore. So they got it cheap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and that's how she got started. But she just bought a new one. She still has her old one, but she just bought a new one. And I want to say she said she paid like $9,000 for it. Yeah, she uses it in the show.
That's probably a cheap one.
Yeah, and that's what she said. She's like, this is one of the cheaper ones because they get beat up pretty bad behind stage. I was like, wow, okay. She's like, yeah, they're not cheap.
So, and since she's doing a stage show, she probably has one that's like, got jacks and stuff like that in it. So it's more of a performance device stage instead of like an orchestra, which would be just a monster,
right?
You know,
yeah,
with the pedals and everything else. And I'm assuming that like you'd even need to have like a special one because you have to lean that thing back on you, and then you have to actuate the pedals for like the dampener and stuff like that. Right. I believe.
Now hers is a smaller version. They actually have it set on a rolling platform, and she gets on it and they roll her out on the stage. But which works because they can't be dragging a harp out, you know, they gotta do this quick. Yeah, it's her harp mobile, but it's not a huge one like you'd find in an orchestra. It's probably a medium-sized one, but she still has to lean it back and get to the pedals. And you know, and her actual, one of her brothers plays the upright bass.
Yeah.
And they will take the bows from basses while she's doing something closer to her. Her brothers, who are also on the show with her, are doing stuff further out on the harp strings using the bows from the basses, which is an amazing thing. But, it's just to watch her do that. But you know, we went to dinner with her one night, and she's talking about the fact that she had just bought 4 brand new saxophones because she couldn't decide on the color she wanted. So she bought a black one, a purple one, a pink one, and a blue one.
That sounds like
someone
did some Amazon shopping. That doesn't sound
that's what she said.
Saxophone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, because those are like, you know, 14 grand and stuff like that. It's
right.
Like,
oh. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, she apparently got one of them and the keys were stuck. So it had to go back, it's like she said, she's like, I don't want to buy anything too terribly expensive. She's like, I have expensive stuff at home.
Yeah.
She's like, but the theater that they perform in, they share with four other shows. And she's like, we don't know what happens to our stuff when we walk out at night. Because there's a show at like 9 a.m. and then one at noon and then one at 3 and then theirs is at 8. She's like, yeah, so we... Yeah, we don't want anything too terribly expensive because it may develop legs and walk off. It may get dropped down a flight of steps. We never know. So I was like, okay. Yeah, so.
Well, that topic was more interesting and more revealing than I would have thought. So I think we'll put a pin in it there, and okay. We'll definitely have to work on getting that piano out of the garage and into the house the very near future here. So with that, let's move on over to This Weekend in Hedonism, and that brings us right into Cheryl's Recipe Corner.
Yeah, so... I am sharing this week the recipe for my mother's macaroni salad. And she made this for any barbecue or outdoor holiday like Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, whatever. And since yesterday was the 4th of July in the United States, it seemed like the perfect time to drag out the recipe and dust it off. Everyone loved the salad except for me because I was a super picky eater growing up. But when I got older, I just determined that this thing was extremely tasty. And now folks request it when I make it for get-togethers. So for this, you need elbow macaroni, some boiled eggs, onion, some celery, some red bell pepper, some sweet pickle relish, some salad dressing like mayonnaise or Miracle Whip, some mustard, some white sugar, apple cider vinegar, salt, celery seed, and some paprika. So, and the rest of the instructions will be in the show notes, but it's super easy to fix, so don't let any of the ingredients scare you off. And for my mixed drink corner, I forgot to put this in here. I picked the blueberry mojito.
The title.
Yeah, like, I forgot I the title. Recipe yeah. Here. Yeah, there's a recipe. There's just no title. So I was like, okay. But anyway, so for this, and it would be great if I could spell. There. Okay. So I have no Bill's watching me type in the etherpad. For this, you need some blueberries, some sugar, some mint that you need to muddle into the drink, plus some sprigs for garnish if you want it, some limes, some silver rum, and some sparkling water. You can make this as a non-alcoholic version if you'd like, and those instructions are also going to be in the directions that are in the show notes. So I've got several notes here about, you know, making it. So, but again, another very easy thing to make, and you can use, you don't have to use blueberries. You can use blackberries, strawberries, raspberries, or a mix thereof. It doesn't matter. So yeah, it's a very, very summery drink. It's very tasty. So, and I decided to go fetch a bottle of whiskey off of Russ's shelves. And I picked the Iron Root Harbinger, which is made by the Iron Root Republic Distillery, also known as the Licorice Family Distillery. Started by Mother Marcia and sons Robert and Jonathan, and that's in Denison, Texas. But they are they opened in 2014, and they're now currently one of 27 distilleries, and that list is growing on the Texas Whiskey Trail. So they use heirloom corn varietals from local farms to add a unique Texas flavor to their spirits. Harbinger was their flagship bourbon, so it's cask strength, non-chill filtered, overproof sipping bourbon that was the herald of things to come at Iron Root. So, and I don't want to bomb everybody with this, but it's a mix of 90% of heirloom Texas corns, including purple corn, bloody butcher corn, flint corn, and non-GMO yellow dent corn, with just a sprinkling of 10% of Texas rye. So 57.5 ABV, 115 proof, obviously. Dark amber colored. It smells like vanilla with some cooked brown sugar with a hint of maple syrup. And you can smell the Texas corn in it, which gives it an odd sweet sour twang to it. and you can smell a little bit of orange marmalade and some cherry in it. The taste is extremely oaky. It has a weird pie crust taste, kind of bitter. I'm not sure what that's from, but we'll see a little bit more in the taste notes here. Has a very light cherry taste, and I mean very light. Baking spices, cinnamon, cloves. It has a very bitter coffee taste, which could be causing that bitter pie crust taste. Mild rye heat, but not overwhelming. In an odd way, it really tastes like a poorly made cherry pie, very light on the cherries, with a cup of old, extremely strong coffee. But, weirdly enough, it works. The finish is short to medium length, excuse me, with a lingering Texas corn, brown sugar, light cherry, a very slight hint of the orange, toasted oak, and oily. And some bourbons do have a very oily mouthfeel, but the one on this one is unlike any others that I've ever tried. So I'm not sure what has led to that. The cost is around $65. It's, as far as I know, it's only available in Texas because they have some really weird liquor laws. I give the bottle a 91. The bottle itself is a fair price. The taste is not terribly smooth, and it's a little on the odd side. It's interesting in a good way. A drop of water did seem to cut through the funk a little bit, change the taste profile, brought out a little bit more of the orange. And as a note, in my opinion, Texas is far too hot for a smooth bourbon. All of them we've tried throughout Texas have been okay, good, but none have been superior, great, you know. And I think what it is the extreme heat makes it over oak far too fast before the ethanol can be tamed and the more subtle flavors of the wood and the distillate can come together. The day that we visited Iron Root and bought this bottle, which was July of 2018, and toured the Rick House, which was in a metal warehouse, it was unbearably hot. I think the thermometer on the wall in the Rick House said 120 degrees. We were only in that area about 5 minutes before I was about ready to pass out. But if the whiskey's baking in temps like that for several months out of the year, and I used to live in Dallas, which is 75 miles from Denison, Texas weather is definitely not for the weak. It's going to end up producing a whiskey that has some funk to it. Places like Tennessee and Kentucky have more distinct seasons, cold winters, hot summers, a mild spring and fall. Texas just seems to have varying degrees of heat with the occasional ice storm thrown in for good reason. We have multiple bottles from multiple distilleries in Texas. And, you know, we went to Balcones, which is in Waco. And everybody raves about Balcones. There was one that I liked there. Russ hated all of them. He bought me the one that I liked. And he went, no, I can't do any of those. And I was like, okay. You know, and we went to several other distilleries, you know, just wandering through Texas one time. And we came home with usually a bottle from every place. But none of them were, oh my God, this is amazing. So, which is sad because, you know, yeah, but they don't have a lot of distilleries. There's 27. But they're coming up with more. Apparently Western Texas apparently has not made it to the list yet, but they're, I guess, working on it. So, and
well, there's a lot of distilleries that don't actually put anything in a barrel too.
Well, there is that too. So, but yep, that's it on that. So, you know, it's I wouldn't say don't buy it if you stumble across it, but you might definitely want to taste it if you get the chance before you plunk down your $65 on the table. And they do make other stuff. They do have two or three different types of bourbon. They have a vodka, which their vodka was excellent, and I actually have a bottle of that. But yeah, the bourbons and whiskeys just it could be better. So.
Well, that's quite interesting. I'll have to check that out. I have one of the bottles of wine that you gave me here. So this is interesting. Is it Howler Creek or is it Jowler Creek?
It's Jowler.
Jowler Creek. It's out of Platte County, Missouri.
Yeah, which is north of Kansas City. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So closer to like St. Joseph's or something like that.
It's about halfway between Kansas City and St. Joseph. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that puts it right in my head where it should be. And this is Beaver Blend 2020. And it's got the cutest little beaver drawn on the front of this. It is, they say it's a red wine. So you know it's great. it's not a Cab. It's not a Merlot. It's not a Pinot. It's a red. It's a red.
It's
wine.
A red. Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly that. So let's see here. It says, Jowler Creek Vineyard and Winery is Missouri's first green winery and is located in Platte County, Missouri. We use industry-leading practices like sheep to control weeds and chickens to reduce insects in our 7-acre sustainable vineyard, and you can find them at jowlercreek.com. And this thing is, it has a sweetness level somewhere between semi-dry and semi-sweet, at least is by what they say on the bottle here. And they say it tastes like... I'm assuming that's cherry and because that's what it kind of tastes like, and barrel. And it says it pairs well with beef and pizza. So, you know, you can't go wrong with a good pizza wine. that's too funny. You know, this is a screw top red wine. So, you know, you're not getting into the real fancy stuff here, but I've drinking, you know, so many screw top red wines that I love. And, you know, this one is kind of interesting because it's, I almost put it into that family of, have you ever had the Costco sangria?
Yes.
The red sangria. This like is just missing like one ingredient to make it the Costco sangria. It tastes I bet you I could put this on ice, throw a couple of pieces of fruit in it, and it would be amazing. Because like as I drink it right now, it literally tastes like I'm drinking warm sangria, which is pleasant. I would highly recommend this. It's not for like if you want like a nice cab or something like that. This would probably be horrible. Or like a true, like a Cab Merlot Pinot blend with like, you know, Sangiovese or something like that. This is definitely not that. But man, if you want something that would probably be a bomb or, you know, the bomb in a sangria recipe that you do at home, and if you didn't have Costco sangria near you, this one is really good. I would definitely make that a sangria. And you wouldn't have to do too much doctoring to it to have it have that nice nice fruity kind of flavor. And that's probably why it goes well with pizza. It does have like a weird lingering aftertaste, but that's probably not that bad.
I always thought it kind of tasted like grape jelly.
Yeah, it's got something. Yeah, something in there is just like it's peculiar. And the closest I can come to it in my mind is sangria. Because it's like, it's kind of tastes like the Costco sangria without all the extra sugar. So this is 12% ABV. It comes in a 750 ml bottle. Not even sure the cost. What do you think this costs? Like,
it's about $25 a bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
I would. That's pretty easy. That's pretty high.
Yeah. All of their wines. We were a member of their wine club, and it was. Ah,
okay.
$50 a month. We got two bottles of wine, or like 53. We got two bottles of wine, but I just looked at their website and it's $26.
Wowzers.
So, yeah.
They're quite proud of that. I mean, you could.
Yeah, they are.
You can have a bottle of sangria at Costco for like $6.99 and it's like a 2-liter bottle. and this tastes almost like it. So, buyer beware on that. But, if you want to support a local winery, I think this is actually pretty decent. Pretty decent. I don't know. I haven't had the other stuff from them, but we had had another red that's like a very sweet red that my wife absolutely loves that one. So, I'm like, oh, that's way too sweet for me. That's not something I can drink. But she actually loves it. So
was it the cockadoodle?
That's one that you had two bottles of. Because I think
and that was probably the red cockadoodle because Russ loved that. So
yeah, that's probably it. So Yeah. So I think we have the second bottles in the fridge right now because she had one not too long ago. but yeah, it's definitely a good, nice, keep it cold and it's nice and sweet. And nice on a hot day. Like today was in the 90s. So it's definitely getting hot here in Montucky. So that's it for my little whatever corner. And we'll move on to announcements and feedback.
That's my page.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. It just like vanished. Not sure what happened with that, but okay. Hang on. There we go. All right. Announcements. So as always, we need help supporting the show. You can do that via Patreon, PayPal, merch, sharing the podcast via social media and radios in your podcast application. And the only other little snippet of feedback we've got is we're going to have the memorial service for Russ in Mount Vernon, Missouri on November 1st, 2026. Everyone's welcome. If you'd like to join us, please send an email to info@allchestpodcast.info and we'll send you more info. Or you can pop over to our Facebook event page and that link will be in the show notes.
And we did get some couple of pieces of feedback here. We had the first one from our YouTube episode number 620. From Paul Griffith, and he says, I like avocado, bacon, lettuce, tomato on whole wheat, and sometimes as a wrap. And I have absolutely no idea what that means, but hey.
I was talking about my bacon, egg, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches.
Oh, okay. That's probably what it is.
I knew where that came from. So.
Well, Cheryl had it then. That's it. And then I did receive an email, and this is obviously dated information, but from Patrick Barkey at 9RV here in Montana. He shared with me the WRTC information from Lee G0MTN, and he wanted to say that they're having the special call signs to be used by the WRTC, which is the World Radio Championship. Am I going to do that right? World Radio something championship. Team championship. I think that's what it is. I'm going to guess. That's probably not right, but we'll call that good enough for the episode. Give you something to complain back on feedback. Like Bill's a moron and doesn't know this stuff. They will be publishing the call signs that will be used on the opening ceremony Thursday, July 9th, which is just around the corner here. In fact, we'll have this podcast out right before it. So you'll be able to find out that information right there. The site builds have been commenced. The team volunteer site builders met for training on Saturday to build the first site and then split into the groups. And if you're not really aware of this is a competition where all the teams are in the very similar geolocation and they all have exactly the same equipment, same antennas, same radios, and it kind of levels the playing field and just puts operators against operators within the confines of the parameters they're given, which is really kind of an interesting contest that you all can participate in. So check out the actual WRTC website. We've linked it here in the show notes. You'll find all the information out about it. They're going to be YouTube TV shows starting on Wednesday, July 8th. So just literally 3 days from now or 2 days from the time the podcast actually gets published. So you'll be able to find the streams that will be there, and then you can participate by contacting these stations. And I believe there's also awards for like chasers. So get into it. Check out this contest. It might be something fun to do for next weekend.
It's the World Radio Sport Team Championship.
Okay,
which is the equivalent of the Olympic Games for ham radio operators.
Okay, so radio sport must be one word, right?
No, I think they just left the S out.
It should be worst instead of wort.
Yeah. So,
anyway, and I also noticed literally a day or two after we had published our podcast, and I don't think it has any bearing upon the work that Peter's doing on Oscar Watch. But they have added the ability to use an SDR as your receiver. inside of the application, which solves my my issue immediately. And he's already released a couple of releases, point releases since the podcast. So check that out, Oscar Watch, and check out our last episode where we take a deep dive into, or a deep dive, sorry, a feature topic, a review of Oscar Watch. And perhaps maybe Peter's actually listening and heard us, or somebody else had exactly the same idea, which wouldn't be surprising because, yeah, I do that with G-Predict as well. So, Cheryl, why don't you get us some subscribers and supporters?
Okay. Lots of S's. So, for this week, we didn't have any paid patrons and we didn't have any free patrons. And PayPal, we had Dylan Engel. Nobody on Facebook, nobody on Instagram, on X/Twitter. We had at WB8SCG and at Hamtracks Radio. On Mastodon, we had AskieJungle at Norden.social and at Karen Camarda at SciComm.xyz. On Discord, we had Eden_Eva_48. KG5IRU, BigDays_KE9DQS, and Woody. And for our live show participants, we had Adam, K3CAN, wow, got to add myself there, Tony, K4XSS, Don, KB2YSI, Mike, KG6GTE, and David, W4DPD.
Just sliding in under the wire.
Yeah, I mean, like literally. I was like, come on, Bill, hurry up and get it typed out there.
I was trying. I was really trying.
I know.
Well, I don't see any other notes. We had a couple of in and outs with the group here. Yes, David, you're very sneaky. And Mike's saying he's listening in distracted mode. He's got his mug and his desk mat. Oh, wow. Look at that view. That's
yeah, no kidding.
That's doing some hardcore work in there.
I think I'd have to quit or something because that's just awful.
I don't see a laptop there doing any coding. I see a phone, so you're just prompting, you're just calling it in with your buddy Claude and saying, "Hey, get that release out tomorrow. Make me look like a hero." Whiskey only. Oh, there you go. That's nice.
Nice, yeah.
Well, Cheryl, let's. I think that's everything that we wanted to talk about this evening. We will have we have a short topics episode coming up next week. Yep. So be on the lookout for that. And other than that, I think you can put the bow on this and send us on our way.
All right. Well, that brings us down to the end of our show. Thank you for listening to episode 622, our 141st Weekender. We'll catch you next time with our short topics episode. For us, K5TUX, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1-909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.